Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to be going and looking at verses 13 through 17 today. I'm reading from the New International Version today. Hear now the word of our Lord. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. We're continuing today in our series on 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're almost through. We've got a couple more weeks. Next week, we're going to jump back to 1 Thessalonians and pick up the passage about the second coming of Christ that just fits so well with All Saints and is such a word of encouragement for us. And then we'll, the week after that, we'll finish out in 2 Thessalonians, and then the last Sunday of the series, we will finish in the last chapter of 1 Thessalonians. So, like I said, we're jumping back and forth a little bit between these two letters, but I think it all still works out. And these letters are real good examples of the message of encouragement and promise to the early church, and I think to our church as well in today's day and age. Well, last week, we looked at the first part of this chapter in talking about the man of lawlessness or man of sinfulness, and we see the clear parallels to the passages about the Antichrist in other parts of the Scripture. And we delved into not so much who the person of the Antichrist might be, but rather the spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of sinfulness, which tempts each one of us to go against the things of the Lord. And we have this I don't want to call it apocalyptic prophecy, although that is the technical term for it, of, you know, this day in which the rule of the Antichrist, the rule of lawlessness, the rule of sin will reign above everything else here on this earth for a period of time, and then Christ will return, and we have this promise. And whenever we get to talking about the end times, or get talking about the the day of the Lord drawing near, and we talk about the spiritual forces of evil in this world gaining power before that great day of the Lord, when we hear that final trumpet blast, it can be really easy for us to get a little anxious about it. To get a little on edge as we anticipate the growing evil in this world, which has been promised to us will happen. And as we look at the world around us, and I'm sure as the church in Thessalonica was looking at the world around them back then, it's very easy to get disheartened and say, oh, but how much more can we handle? You know, just this past week, we saw more and more examples of the lawlessness and sinfulness in our world. War continues to rage in multiple places around the world. Wars that we all hoped would be short-lived are drawing ever, ever longer. I saw articles this past week on both the war in Ukraine and the war that has started in Israel. Both of those articles said, it looks like this is going to last a lot longer than anyone thought. We continue to see it. We have wars and rumors of wars. And then we have the violence that happened in Maine this past week. and so many other things that threaten us, and it's easy for us to get disheartened. And I don't know about any of you, but I don't even like to turn on the news anymore because just what else is going to happen next? What else? What more crime? What more violence? And I'm sure the people of Thessalonica felt the exact same way. Because as you look at the world of the Roman Empire, it was a vast and impressive empire. And, you know, they talk about the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. When you look at the history of the Roman Empire, it was a history of war. Non-stop war. And we see that really all throughout history. We have wars upon wars upon wars. And each time a great new powerful leader arises and starts a whole bunch of conflicts somewhere, we start looking at these prophecies of apocalypse and doom and revelation, and we say, oh, but Christ is coming back soon. With all that's happening, I'm sure it is soon. It's happening now. But again, as I said last week, we don't know the day or the hour. And we are faced with the ongoing lawlessness with the promise that one day it will be set right. I'm sure the Apostle Paul understood the weariness which the church in Thessalonica was experiencing. He experienced the same weariness. He was a Roman citizen. He traveled all over the Roman world. We know that he made it, he grew up in the province of Asia. He grew up there in Tarsus. He traveled all throughout Syria and the Holy Land. We know that he made it all the way to Rome, and there are rumors that he made it even further, although those rumors are not confirmed by any sources. He saw the ongoing war and the ongoing struggle of the church. He knew the weariness of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And while it is important to give this warning about the spirit of lawlessness, the man of lawlessness, with the promise and the hope of Christ, he doesn't leave it just at that. And he goes on in these last few verses of this chapter to give an extra word of encouragement. He says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." And he goes on to encourage them. And he urges them to stand fast, stand firm. Stand firm, hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. As we know, this is at least the second letter that he wrote to them, and there's some evidence to suggest that he wrote more letters to them as well. And he's encouraging them that no matter what comes your way, hold fast to the truth. Because God has given you the Holy Spirit who is working a powerful work of sanctification in your life. We have here one of the early talks of sanctification in the New Testament. Now, I say early, and chronologically that's correct. Order of Scripture, that's not. One thing that you may or may not know is that Paul's letters to the Thessalonians were some of the first ones that he wrote. So even though they appear further back in our New Testament, they were actually written earlier than some of those ones that we know so well, such as Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and those others. These letters to the church in Thessalonica were written earlier than that. So yes, it's okay to say we have one of the first passages talking about sanctification. And we have this message here that just because we've given our life over to the Lord, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean God's work in our lives is done. Yes, the church in Thessalonica had been saved. They had given their hearts over to the Lord. And the evidence, the fruits of their salvation was evident for all to see. But let me ask you a question. The day that you gave your heart over to the Lord, did you stop having temptation? No. Not at all. And in fact, for many of us, I would guess that the day we gave our hearts over to the Lord is the day that we started facing more temptation than we were before. Because the truth is that once we have accepted Christ, the devil is all the more eager to get us to fall from grace. As long as we're still hanging back and we've not made that commitment, the devil's job is done. But once we have given ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ, he doubles down. And temptation gets even stronger as we seek to live a holy life in a world of unholiness. And on our own, we will only fail. It doesn't matter how good our intentions are. It doesn't matter how many barriers we try to put up in place. If we try to face the temptation and the battles of this world by ourselves, we will fail. And we'll get locked in this ongoing, constant cycle of, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm saved. Oh, I messed up again. Lord, forgive me of those sins. I'm saved. Oh, I messed up again. We find ourselves going back again and again. Lord, forgive me, I'm a horrible sinner. Make me clean. I promise I'll never do it again. Oh, I did it again. And for some Christians, they think this is all there is. We accept Jesus Christ, and we are immediately locked into this constant cycle of sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness. This constant cycle of repentance. And for some people, they just have this hope that, you know, that they will not, you know, when it comes to the end, that they'll have the chance to pray one last quick prayer and not mess up again before the end. They think they're only as good as their last repentance. I've heard Christians talk this way. I've heard pastors preach this way. Oh, you're going to sin. We know it. But just ask for forgiveness and he'll forgive you again. Brothers and sisters, the extra good news of the gospel is that you don't have to be locked into that cycle. We are not doomed to an everlasting cycle of sin and repentance. Because there's this thing called sanctification that the Lord has given us through the Holy Spirit. And it is this process in which every day, as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to work unhindered, because God's not going to force himself on us, he'll let us reject him if we are determined to. But as long as we stay open to the work of the Holy Spirit, he will continue the sanctifying work in our life every day in which he takes a little bit of that temptation away. He removes that urging in our hearts towards sin, what Charles Wesley called a bent towards sin. He continues that work every day so that little by little, step by step, centimeter by centimeter in some of our cases, we become more and more like Christ until one day we'll find that those things that used to be such a great temptation for us don't even seem appealing anymore. We have no desire for that sinfulness, that lawlessness that we once thought was so sweet, because now it's bitter in our mouths. That is the good news of sanctification. We don't have to face the temptations of this world alone. We don't have to be locked in this constant struggle of trying to get it right and always failing. Because God is with us. He has given us His Holy Spirit to lean on and to sometimes be carried by through those tough times. There is a Christian music group that I know they were popular late 80s and throughout the 90s. Some of you may have heard of them. They're called Petra. And one of the first CDs that I had growing up was a Petra CD. And it was a recording of one of their concerts. And I love this one moment in the concert in which the singer is talking. And he says, you know, some people talk about Jesus as a crutch. They use Jesus as a crutch. He said, I don't want to use Jesus as a crutch. Jesus isn't a crutch. Jesus is a stretcher. Because you can't even limp into heaven without Him. And I love that imagery because as long as we try to limp along by ourselves, we're only going to fail. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to just pick us up and run us right past the danger and then set us down safely on the other side and say, okay, my child, now keep going. You can do it with me. We have to stand firm on what we know is true. When we stand firm on the gospel, when we hold fast to the teachings of Scripture, we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding our every step. Guiding our path. And one day, we may find that the ways of this world are far behind. We're living our lives in the kingdom of heaven while we're still here. I think that's part of what Jesus meant when He said the kingdom of heaven is here. Because when He was talking about the kingdom of heaven, He wasn't talking about a place. He was talking about the reign of God in our lives. We can dwell in the kingdom of heaven when we allow God to reign in our lives. And when we stand firm on that solid foundation of Christ our Savior. The Apostle Paul leaves the Thessalonians with this prayer of encouragement. He says, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. What a powerful prayer that is. We've been given an eternal encouragement and hope. And when we lean upon the Lord, when we trust in Him, He encourages and strengthens our hearts in everything that we do. I have this prayer that I try to pray every day. I usually will pray it when I first get up. I don't always succeed in living by the request of this prayer. But my prayer is always that I may bring glory and honor to God in everything that I say, think, and do. Now, I don't always succeed in that. I'm not perfect. I'm a human. when we trust in the Lord and allow Him to guide our path, removing those spiritual blinders so that we can see what is truly laying ahead of us, see temptation for what it is, then in everything that we see, everything that we think, everything that we do, everything that we say, and everything that we are, we can bring glory and honor to God. Because in the end, it's not about us. It's about Him. We are called to live a life that is glorifying to God, both for His sake and for ours. We are called to glorify God, but in glorifying God, we also allow the Holy Spirit to further transform our hearts and our lives, to make this journey in this life, this walk in this life, a little bit easier. And to stand firm as we await the day of His second coming. That day which has been promised to us, when all things will be set right. So let us glorify God today. Stand firm and hold fast to the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His apostles. Relying on the Holy Spirit for everything to guide you in the path that is right. Amen.